Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
people who are busy often drop the ball, and then they get to a certain point. So they're like, when we have to do audits, like for me, it was like getting married. Maybe you get divorced or whatever. You go like, oh my goodness, where have all my friends gone? We're spending our social time with smaller and smaller numbers of people, and it becomes harder and harder to break out of it because it can be nerve-wracking, right? The more we opt out of it, then the bigger deal it becomes to get back into it. Think instead about going, what do I like? Like, well, what interests me? Like, what do I enjoy doing? Well, where are people doing that? I mean, that sounds really blindly obvious, but where are people meeting repeatedly to do this thing? If you show up there enough, you'll find friendships happen almost by accident.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. Really appreciate you joining us for another cracking episode of the programme, and I really hope that this one resonates with you. But some really important conversations these last few episodes as well, and I really do urge you to check back through the archives of Mental Health Monday. More than 330 episodes of this programme that we've produced over the last however many years, and we intend to continue doing that. If you want to get involved, or if you want to recommend somebody to be on Mental Health Monday, do drop me an email. My details are in the podcast notes, and you can get in contact with me. Recommendations of incredible people making incredible differences, insight, new ways of thinking, destigmatizing conversations. It's exactly the sort of conversation we want to be having here on Mental Health Monday. Now, here's a conversation for you this week. Now, this is really interesting. There's a new survey which has come out, which is looking at the number of friends that people have. And if you have ever asked yourself, how many friends have I got? Not followers on social media or people who you used to know. How many friends have you got? You know, people that you can rely on. People who might ask you out for, you know, a drink, socializing, invite you to a barbecue, those sorts of things. And it's quite interesting that when you think about it, sometimes you might have loads of friends. Great, fine. You know, you don't need to worry about it as such. But I certainly know that there have been times in my life where I've thought, I've not seen my friends for 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. Sometimes you think, no one ever contacts me to say, do you want to go and do something? And I've had this conversation with my wife many times where we're like, we haven't done anything in ages because nobody's gone, oh, we want to go to this gig, or do you want to go and see this comedian, or do you want to go out for something to eat? And I think I'm of an age, you know, with young families and friends who've got young families, or friends who don't have young families who presume that because we've got a young family, we can't do anything anymore. Or if they do want to do something, they don't want to do it with the whole family. They just want to do it with us, and we've got to get babysitters and stuff like that. That friendships change. Friendships fall away. And also, it's sometimes more difficult to make new friends the older you get. Or is it? That's the question. Now, that's the conversation I'm going to have today. This new survey says that the average person over the age of 55 has 11 close friends. But when you're 16 to 24, you've got around 20. So it almost halves in that period of time, that 30-year period. One in eight people over the age of 55 have no friends at all. 22% of people feel that they're too anxious to talk to people. One in five can't make the small talk that you would make at the start of the conversation. What about this? 14% of people miss things that they want to do because they've got no one to go with. And there's only one in three of us who say, yeah, you know what? We're all right. We've got enough friends. Well, there's a guy called Max Dickens, and he's our guest on the podcast this week. And he's written a book called Billy No Mates, How I Realized Men Have a Friendship Problem. And that Billy No Mates used to be the thing people would throw at you at school if you didn't have any mates. Billy No Mates. But Max's own personal take on that is a classic example of what I've just described. That thing of getting older, getting to a point where you have to try to figure out who your mates are, and then actually not really being able to pinpoint those sorts of people who you traditionally would think about. And I'd say, think about this as well. Who are your closest group of friends? Are they the people you went to school with? Are they the people you grew up with? Are they the people you maybe met at university? I'll mention this to Max in a conversation, but my mates at university, right? I met them in the year 2000. I still class them as my new friends. They're still like the new kids on the block. Not at all. I've known them for nearly a quarter of a century. It's absolutely bonkers. But you might be one of those people who feels lonely, who feels like they don't have those friendship groups. And actually, Max has got some decent tips to look at the things that he did to try and get himself back out there as well, because it comes to a point where for a lot of people, you have to ask the question, how many mates have I actually got?
Absolutely. So what happened for me is my wake-up call was I got engaged to get married. I was planning on getting engaged, and I went to go and get this engagement ring, and I took a couple of female friends off for like moral support, choose a nice one. And we go to the bar afterwards, and they say, like, you know, we got the ring now. Who's going to be your best man? And I sort of, mind goes blank, and I think, well, I've had a drink. That might be what it is. But go back home that night, get a paper and pen out in the flat. So I'm like, well, who would I have? And I takes forever to make this list of blokes, and I looked down the list. I thought, well, I work with half of these guys. If I ask them to be my best man, they might think a bit weird. Okay. Then the rest of them was like, wow, I haven't seen some of these fellas for 2 or 3 years. And I thought, what's happened? Where have all my friends gone? Right? Because if you look at me, like, I'm an outgoing guy. I was in my early 30s. I'm quick to buy my round in the bar. You know, loneliness doesn't look like me. You know, you hear stories, it looks like other people, it looks like much older people, but increasingly it does look like me. And it's especially bad, this, I think, for blokes. So if you look at the research, because I, you know, whenever you've got a problem in your life, what do? You Google it, right? So I Google it and realize that since the records have begun, men have had fewer friends than women, and especially fewer close friends. So it begged the question for me, like, well, what's going on? What can we do about it? And I thought, well, it's quite an urgent problem for me, because I need a best man, so I better get on with it.
It's sort of a dawning realization for a lot of people. And I wonder if it speaks of sort of how our lives have changed, but we don't necessarily realize that our lives have changed. And I think that's when we talk about loneliness and loneliness creeping in and then being uncertain about how we fit in the world. You know, that can happen over a period of time. Were you angry at yourself? Were you angry at other people? Were you angry at the world when you suddenly went, hang on a minute, what did happen?
Well, it all happened very gradually and by accident. So it's not something, you know, it's a bit like, you know, the frog in the archetypal water. You know, you see the frog in water, you slowly heat it up. You know, the frog doesn't realize it's being boiled. In my social world, I'd kind of got into really bad habits. And then it all came to kind of this realization in all one crushing blow. So I wasn't angry. I was embarrassed, because it is embarrassing, right? You know, and I'm a big thing I'm kind of big on now with this stuff is to try and frame it not as loneliness, but as social health. A bit like we think about mental health or physical health. Like, we're much more open about talking about this stuff now. But social health, I think it's really normal for people to struggle with friendships as they get older, certainly at certain points in their life. And like, if we frame it as something that we can go and practically solve and put attention onto when we need to, then it doesn't have to be so embarrassing. But I did also reflect on like the way the world is built. The world has made friendship really difficult. Like, the analogy I use is with sedentary lifestyle. Like, we used to be able to stay thin and healthy in the world just by being alive, because there's so much activity, right? Then, you know, we all know the world's changed. We sit on our backsides a lot more now with work or whatever. And so if you want to stay in shape, you've got to be really deliberate about it. You've got to put a lot of work in. You've got to go to the gym, you've got to eat properly. But how often in life, you know, when life gets busy, you stick a ready meal in, you skip the gym, you know, and you get unhealthy. I think social world's the same thing. The scaffolding that used to support our social relationships, our friendships, has kind of dropped away. So we have to put way more work in. So it's no surprise that people who are busy often drop the ball, and then they get to a certain point. So they're like, when we have to do audits, like you say, like for me, it was like getting married. Sometimes it's like, you know, maybe you get divorced or whatever. You go like, oh my goodness, where have all my friends gone? But it happens gradually.
I've got friends who, and they're on WhatsApp groups as we speak, talking about funny things that they've seen. These are the lads that I grew up with. They were my mates from being a child, and I'm 42 now, right? So things have moved on. I mean, some of these guys have been around for decades and decades and decades. What do you do, Max, when you were in the market for making new friends, right? It seems like a strange situation to be in, where you suddenly go, okay, I'm 42 and I don't have the friendship groups that I used to have, or maybe people have moved away, families have changed. How do you make friends? Because taking a football to the park isn't going to be enough anymore, I'm presuming.
I mean, you'd get very lucky if that's all it took. But But I think about the glory days, right, of friendships. It's probably when you're at school. It's probably if you're at uni, if you went to uni, or when you're in your early 20s, you're in flat shares, you're going to parties all the time. Now, why are they the glory years? Think about what's happening. You are in habitats where you're repeatedly coming into contact with people you see a lot, but also people you've probably got something in common with. So how can we recreate that? I think the question is, don't go out going with a football under your arm going, I'm going to make a friend today. Think instead about going, what do I like? What am I into? Like, well, what interests me? Like, what do I enjoy doing? And then the next step is, right, well, where are people doing that? I mean, that sounds really blindly obvious, but where are people meeting repeatedly to do this thing? If you show up there enough, you'll find friendships happen almost by accident. Like, I had this thing where I had to move house, right? So I'm from London. I moved to a different bit of London, but London's so massive that, you know, you can move literally an hour away from where you used to live. And I had no mates in the area. So I joined this CrossFit gym, even though I'm not particularly fit, right? And I kept on showing up. Then after about 6 weeks, this bloke shuffles up to me and goes, all right, I'm Craig. You look like you hate the gym. I was like, how can you tell? He said, well, you just got the vibe. We've got a WhatsApp, secret WhatsApp group from people who hate the gym here. So it's 12 lads. Do you want to join it? I said, yeah, all right. And now we meet up every 3 weeks, go for a curry, go to the pub. But it's because my point is, I didn't go to the gym with a big sign, like one of those golf sale signs saying, I want a friend. I actually said, well, what kind of do I want to do? And then I was there often. I mean, that is the thing. Take the pressure off it.
There's that in-betweeners thing, isn't it, where people go, friend, which kind of really cheapens the value of friends. But actually, Max, there's a genuine need, isn't there, for community companionship and friendship, which actually comes to the very... If you feel like you've not got that out there in the world, that's going to reflect badly on, for your own mental health point of view, to think, hang on a minute, well, I put myself out in the world and nothing comes back, or that I don't make those connections. That can be huge, can't it? And actually, to make those connections, you know, they could be the people you see in the gym, fine, but actually, the moment of then contact... between two people, and would you like to join this thing, and would you like to join us for a curry? Suddenly, there must be neurons in your brain that are firing off going, oh, something's happening here. I'm grounding myself within this new area that I've moved into and with these new people, and I'm being accepted, so there must be something about me. That's got to be a hugely positive thing that we experience mentally.
Absolutely. I mean, the research is unambiguous. Having friends is the most important thing for your physical and mental health. Like, mental health is maybe a bit more obvious, but even physical health. So it's super important. And I think what's happening is all of us have built these digital bubbles where we might walk around with headphones in, we're in our screens on the phones all the time. Like, go on any train, look down the carriage, see what's going on. But even away from that, we're spending our social time, our leisure time, with smaller and smaller numbers of people. Like, we spend all our time with our partner or with a very narrow group of friends, or alone on the sofa watching the telly, watching inverted commas content, right? We've got to be really careful about that, because it becomes a comfort zone and it becomes harder and harder to break out of it, because it can be nerve-wracking, right? And the more we kind of opt out of it, then the bigger deal it becomes to get back into it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you think there's something to be said as well for a new generation who you might say to them, how many friends have you got? And what they do is they associate friends with followers on social media. And they'll go, oh, I've got 25,000 friends. Yeah, but how many real friends? I mean, how many people? The test used to be, if you needed to borrow 100 quid or if you were moving house, how many people would go... Yeah, I'll help you. That used to be like the proper friend test, because your proper friends would help you do that. They might try and make a few excuses but they get, yeah, fine, I'll be there. What time do you need me, sort of thing. That's a modern thing, because actually the word even friend, you know, I'm going to friend you on social media. That we need to protect that a little bit, don't we? We're not going to use the phrase proper friend. How many proper friends? But do you see the point I'm trying to make there?
I do, yeah. I think what we need is a mix. So, like, I got given this analogy once. It's going to sound complicated, but it's not. This academic called it the social biome. So we've got a biome in our gut, lots of different bacteria. It's all about balance. Social biome is about, we need some really, really close friends. People you ring up and go, I need 100 quid, like you say. We need some mates a bit more superficial, going like maybe a quick pint or someone you know from the office, whatever it is. And we need these more casual conversations that kind of make up this kind of nest of interactions that make our life feel meaningful and full of trust and community. So we need a bit of everything. And the danger is we become too reliant on these superficial pick and mix styles online interactions. I think it needs to be a bridge into real life and not a destination in itself. So what can happen if you're not careful is sometimes something that is seen as better than nothing, like, you know, you're on the WhatsApp with the lads, can soon become being seen as simply better because we feel more socially anxious about actually doing the real thing. It happened very subtly.
No, absolutely. And there's plenty of opportunities for people to make new friends in places like, I think coffee shops was the number one place, dog walkers, you know, that where you can have those sort of meaningful interactions. And over time, that can really build. I wanted to tell you, though, about my mate. When we went into lockdown and yeah. I sort of texting my mate, are you doing okay? A friend of mine said, I have lived my whole life waiting for this moment, which was the everybody leave me alone moment. And actually, if you look at the survey results, there are a couple of little hints within it that actually people don't have any friends, but they're also happy with themselves. And I think they're obviously having interactions with other stuff that's going on in their lives. But I'm thinking, what an interesting place that is in, that people sort of find that state of loneliness, not to be something that they're concerned about, but actually something they go, it's just me and I can sort of take care of myself. There's something fascinating psychology going on there.
There is. But do you know what? What's really interesting about this is it depends on your personality type. So introverts generally, like, they have smaller social groups and the mates they do have are much closer, but they're quite happy with not very many. Extroverts have a lot more, but their relationships are a bit shallower, and that's what they prefer. And I should say, like, with friendship, there's no right answer. Loneliness is a subjective feeling. I'm lonely when I feel I don't have enough friends. But you can have no friends and think, well, I love solitude, so I don't feel lonely. So there's no one saying you're wrong to be like, do you know what? I love spending all my time by myself. And I see one mate once a month, have one pint, then leave. And that's great. If that's you, that's you. But for most people, on average, we do need a decent kind of cadre of pals, and it doesn't need to be complicated. We can get on the front foot. Here's the biggest tip I got given when I was writing my book about socializing. I spoke to a guy who's got loads of mates, and I said, why have you got so many mates? He said, what's your secret? And he said, my mates call me the Sherpa, right? Like those soldiers that carry everything up the mountain in Nepal. I said, the Sherpa. He said, yeah, because I organize everything. But if I didn't organize everything, we'd never see each other. And I thought, that is a brilliant little metaphor. Be the Sherpa in your social world. Be the one who is sending the text going like, come on, who's having a drink? Who's coming out tonight? Be the one who does a check-in on WhatsApp. Be the one who organises the little weekend away. Because people need leadership in the social world. They're desperate for people to organise stuff. Take the lead. Be the igniter. And, you know, if you're out and about and you want to kind of start a conversation going, this is why Noma are talking about it. They brought out this extra large sharing bar. Break out a bit of chocolate, icebreaker, get a conversation going. But someone needs to go first.
Max, thank you so much for your time. The Billy No Mates, How I Realize Men Have a Friendship Problem, is a fantastic read. That's out now as well. Thank you so much for your time. There's loads in the survey stats. I'll put some podcast notes in there as well so people can click on and find out some more. But I'm sure it's going to spark several conversations, even with random people in the street. Max, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Great questions. Good to chat.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.